Welcome to...
You're listening to The Wrestling Takeover.
What is your name?
With your host, Jordan Turner, who's always going to keep it real.
Come on, King.
Inside and outside the ring.
Let me make myself clear.
He's got the fans behind him, King.
It's time to take over, King.
Are you ready?
He's all fired up now, King. Takeover.
Let's go.
What's the word, y'all? What's going on? Welcome back. I told y'all I'll be back to back today on the pod. And like I said, we're going to be reacting to Impulsive Podcast with special guest, Randy Orton, the Viper, the Apex Predator, the Legend Killer, the man himself. So it's going to be a chill podcast today. Laid back, relax. Put the headphones in. Be sure to subscribe to The Wrestling Takeover wherever you get your pod. Be sure to follow me on social media, Twitter at JT Takeover, Instagram at The Wrestling Takeover, and TikTok at The Wrestling Takeover. I appreciate the love. Let's get into the podcast. And before we do, there will be some ads. And when we get ads, I'm going to kind of go a little forward. All right. So I don't want you to be listening to the ads, and I don't quite frankly want to listen to them either. So every time there's an ad, I'm gonna just skip a little forward. All right, let's enjoy the podcast. Impulsive with special guest Randy Orton, me reacting to the interview.
It's in our business, tells you how amazing you're doing.
I don't need to be gassed up, but
I know you don't, and I'm not gonna, but I gotta point out the little things that you're doing at this point already, the ability, and I think it was in Saudi Arabia. Is that where you work, Ray?
Yeah. No. Recently?
Recently, yeah.
Yeah, with Ray. Yeah.
Okay. So he did a spot with you.
Hold up. I'm sorry. Yeah. I get my fucking championship belt. My bad.
Yeah, I forgot that you were even US champ. I did. Yo,
very important.
My bad.
Because you haven't talked about it or shown it on any pictures in a long time.
When I beat Ray fair and square in Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
That's wild.
So anyways, continue complimenting me.
You caught him. You caught him out of midair when you were a little farther back. He came up a little short on like a springboard moonsault or something.
Yep.
But you got under him.
Yep.
And you saved him. You saved the spot. And the way you got down on your hips, the hip mobility and the strength and the way you got up with him. And he's not the biggest cat, but the predicament you were in and the way you got out of it was amazing. A lot of guys, you know, wouldn't have been there for that. I've seen guys, I'm not going to name any names, but I've seen guys that have, you know, completely missed guys or dropped guys in a situation like that. So the fact that you knew what to do and in a hundredth of a second you were there, that's impressive. That's all the gassing you up.
Thanks.
All
this. Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
I don't want to keep pausing consistently on this pod, but when I hear things like that, I really want to, you know, give my two cents. If you guys are still hating on Logan Paul, you need to stop. How many opponents does Logan Paul need to go one-on-one with for y'all to give him his flowers? I mean, Roman Reigns was enough, right? Seth Rollins was enough. The Miz was enough. Rey Mysterio was enough. What does he have to face? Randy Orton now, and in my personal opinion, I hope we get Randy Orton versus Logan Paul in 2024. In my POV, the match for Logan Paul at WrestleMania 40 for the United States Championship is against LA Knight. That's where I stand. That's the match that I would book creatively for Logan Paul and LA Knight going into WrestleMania 40.
I was going to ask you if that deviates at all from what your feelings were before you had seen him perform, because you guys have had a number of celebs and entertainers come into the league over the years.
For sure.
Social media influencers.
For sure. Sure.
And obviously not the case anymore, but when he was first coming in, he was at the time listed as a losing boxer. Has-been state wrestler, considered by many to be controversial.
Did you make a list?
Doesn't talk to his mom enough, poor diet. A Washington Post article even listed him as the smallest penis in the influencer space.
They did not say that. Oh,
amazing.
Yep. How would they know that?
Yo.
What's your initial take on him prior?
I didn't know a lot about the Paul brothers, specifically Logan, other than what, so I've got five children. And my kids, you know, oh, Logan this, Logan that, Jake this, Jake that. So I had always heard his name in my household, but I wasn't too familiar. When you came backstage, I think the first time we met, you looked me in the eye. I could tell right away that you wanted to be there. I could tell right away, and I know I'm sure a lot of guys have talked about respect in our business. I could tell, like, okay, like, I saw who Logan Paul was in that split second, and I was like, all right, he's good back here. I could just tell. I could just tell by the way you shook my hand, man, you know, that you were good to go. And then, of course, like as we were saying, you're getting better and better, and that's the way to go.
Trying, man. Trying to learn. Yeah.
You know, I don't have to prove Logan Paul. You know, I don't have to gaslight Logan Paul. I'm watching through, you know, my own vision, through my eyes. We all watch the same thing. You understand? And from my POV, Logan Paul is the greatest celebrity turned pro wrestler of all time. Nobody does it like Logan Paul. Nobody acts like Logan Paul. His promo game is solid. You know, his in-ring ability is incredible. His selling is incredible. He always has this big fight feel when he comes out and he's, you know, wrestling. It's some great shit. It's some great shit. And, you know, a couple people within the wrestling space was heavily critical of Logan Paul when he first signed to the WWE. But I told a lot of people in the space, like, yo, I think Logan Paul is going to impress. I think Logan Paul is going to put on some bangers. And he's been doing just that with Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Rey Mysterio. He had a great match with The Miz. With Dom. So, you know, Logan Paul, he's certified. You know what I mean? He's solidified in his game in pro wrestling, and I can't wait to see what he does at WrestleMania. Does he face LA Knight? I don't know, but that's just my POV. That's what I would do. Hopefully he faces Kevin Owens. It looks like he's going to have a 1v1 against KO soon. Maybe a Royal Rumble, have no idea. But at the end of the day, he's going to be in a high-profile match, deservedly so, at WrestleMania for the U.S. title. I can't wait to see who he wrestles. It's going to be very interesting.
Ace, I mean, your career has been amazing, and I look to all the superstars in the WWE, and I try to take what I can. And the one thing that I notice about you, and I think a lot of the fans know it and see it and resonate with it and love it, is like they can feel your passion. I think maybe a little more than everyone else when you're out there. You can feel that shift. Like even some of the things you do, you're going viral right now for that DDT where you were like, yeah. Where does that come from? What is that?
I don't know, man. So it's like that fire inside of you, and I just let it out. It's hard to explain. It's kind of, so a lot of guys, it's weird talking about putting matches together. Back in the day, we would never be sitting here talking to each other, talking about how we put shit together. Mm. But when you have so many things you're thinking about ahead of time, like all those things with Ray, you had them burned in.
For sure.
It's hard to kind of be in the moment. If you go out there, if you and me went out there and we had nothing laid out except for kind of, you know, a beginning, a middle, and an end, there'd be a lot of gaps to fill. There'd be plenty of time to be in the moment. For me, not having all these spots, if you will, to remember, it gives you the ability to be in the moment and be out there and actually listen to the people. Mm. What we do is kind of, you know, get a temperature for the crowd, and we can adjust on the fly. We can pivot when we want. When you have everything laid out, well, it's a choreographed Dancing with the Stars. You know, I know where I'm going to be at this point in the match, and oh, he's got to duck this, duck that. Here we go, over the top, through the table, da da da. You have the whole match laid out. You're probably sleeping the night before, dreaming about those spots. You'll get to a level eventually where you can go out there with some guys, and you can show up an hour before the show, talk very limitedly, and then go out there, and then those people are going to get something else. They're not going to get maybe the athleticism from a Randy Orton that they would from a Logan Paul, but what I can bring to the table is that emotion. And what a lot of guys, when you say that it's a little different with me than other guys, it's because I think most of those other guys are just thinking about what's next. So that's the difference.
That is the expert level in professional wrestling.
And I learned that coming in when I did. When I was 19, I signed with the WWE. So I'm like the only guy that's never left and come back. Well, other than John Cena. But like I'm going to be here for the rest, this is me. Like I'm not moving on to Hollywood. I love what I do. I just had 18 months off recovering from a spinal fusion. So I was kind of faced with the fact that I might not be able to do this again. So it's almost like I got a second lease on my career here, and I'm not going to take a day for granted. Not a second.
Yeah. I hope Randy Orton realizes how important him returning really, really was. I've missed him. We've all missed him. Randy Orton is goated. Randy Orton, for a lot of people, is in their top 10 all time. I don't know if he's in... Probably he's in my top 10 for me. He has the greatest finisher God ever created. I'll tell you that right now. Oh, God. The RKO is my favorite finisher ever. So you can come up with whatever name, what other finisher you want. Superplex, super kick, stunner, rock bottom, FU, the F5, the pedigree, all of it. DDT, sharpshooter, figure four. Cold Breaker, Walls of Jericho, Rock Bottom, whatever. In my personal opinion, nothing is touching the RKO. Nothing. But Randy Orton coming back, just... we've missed him so much for so long. So for me, when he came out at Survivor Series, even though we all knew he was going to come out, that doesn't matter to me. When he came out, I really had a smile on my face. I'm just like... yeah, he's back. I've missed him, and I know a lot of people feel the same way.
That ring for granted. And so now, even now, more so than, the matches you would have seen like a year ago when you first started, or a couple years ago when you first started, like I'm feeling even more in my element now.
I mean, you're looking it too, Randy. I got to say, the fans are going crazy on Twitter. You're tan, you're yoked. You look probably the best you ever have, arguably.
Yeah, So I changed a lot of stuff off this last 18 months. I really needed the time. I had a lot of, ailments. Of course, I couldn't stand for more than a couple of minutes without having pain shoot down my legs. When I would sit, I had a disc that was slipping every time I would bend. So, on a plane sitting here, my feet would go numb and I'd have pain shooting down my legs. Oh, it really sucked. It really was hard. That last year before... I had to leave because of the back. I was in a tag team with former WWE superstar Matt Riddle. And I got to give him props because that year we tagged together, I was not able to be in that ring unless I was in there with someone like him, because he was able to take the brunt of the physicality. He'd tag me at the end. I'd come in, I'd do my shit. And, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have made it that far. But I had some great doctors. They fixed me up right. They didn't cut through any muscle, which would enable me to get back in the ring. Because once you start cutting muscle, like, that's never going to heal back. Like, it's you're done. So I'm just blessed all the way around. And blessed to have learned, like, the little tidbit of knowledge I gave from you. I learned that from guys like Triple H, Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker. And I'm so lucky to have gotten into the business when I did.
Hey, as you guys know, I'm engaged now. Look at that. Hey, thanks, man. And with the holidays around the corner, every gift has to be that much more.
All right, guys, I'm going to skip a couple minutes here. Let's see. All right.
I can pull a guy aside, kind of like I DM'd you. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, man, careful. Don't go out there and end up in a wheelchair. You got a lot of shit going on. You know, it'd be, you would.
I can't help it. I can't help it. Gotta throw shade. I can't help it, man. Jungle Boy. If Randy Orton gave you advice, would you get mad? Again, I can't help it because Jungle Boy is a fucking idiot. Talk about real glass. Like that other pot that I did earlier today with Tully Blanchard, and he gave his opinion on some of the, you know, the youngsters nowadays in AEW not really acknowledging the old school guys, and you know, I don't know if it's just all the dudes or the women too. I don't know, but from the looks of it, it just looks like it's the guys right now. They're not giving any lessons. They're not wanting any lessons from the OGs, from the legends of the game. And it's just funny to me, man. Like, would Jungle Boy really say something like that to Randy Orton? That'd be pretty crazy. I mean, look like Edge was getting declined too as well. So I don't know, man, but I just, these WWE wrestlers is just different. These youngsters in WWE, they're just different. They're taught better. They're presented better than the people in AEW. So I know people were listening to Randy Orton. I know Logan Paul was definitely one of those dudes.
You're doing a lot of podcasts only.
Podcasts only, exactly. Like you always got to be thinking of that next one.
Well, I can tell you, I appreciate the advice, and like that knowledge only comes from people who have done it and done it at the highest level. The way that you have developed since you started is also highly interesting. It's really cool to hear that this passion sort of like developed for wrestling, especially because you're a third generation wrestler. I don't know if you know this. Grandfather wrestled, father wrestled. Massive wrestlers and very successful in their career, except you didn't have that feeling to want to go do it, even though it was, you know, in the lineage. And then all of a sudden, what changed that made you want to do this, you know, forever and be Randy Orton?
Yeah, growing up in the business, I was always around it, and I wasn't necessarily a fan until I was, you know, later on in high school. And then, you know,
wow, that's, you know, I knew that, you know, through all the documentaries and all the home videos of, you know, watching the stories of Randy Orton and stuff. But just listening to that is just crazy. Like, damn, bruh. Like, you weren't a fan from Jump? I mean, I was a fan of Jump. I mean, that's why I'm still watching. I'm 28. I'm going to be 50 and hopefully in the business by then. But if not, I'm going to still be watching no matter what, man. It's... I want people to really understand something for the new listeners out there. I really love pro wrestling. It's ingrained in my DNA from a fan's perspective. I really cherish it. People have escapes. I have a couple other escapes outside of pro wrestling that really give me some warmth and, you know, make me free at home. Pro wrestling is definitely one of those escapes for me. When I watch it, when I talk about it, you know, if it's on my podcast or if I'm talking about it with my friends, if I'm doing an article about it, tweet about it, whatever, right? Posting it. Wrestling to me is my everything. It's my love. And it makes me excited, you know. I try to watch as much as pro wrestling as I can. Try to stay up to date with everything that's going on in pro wrestling during the weeks, the months and the years and everything. It's a career path that I really want to take. And I know I'm going to get there. It's just going to take time and patience at the end of the day. A little luck here and there, but time and patience and hard work. And I know I'm good at what I do. I don't need any validation from nobody, but I know I'm good at what I do. And knowing that Randy Orton really wasn't as passionate as a pro wrestling, as someone like I am, that's pretty crazy. But I'm really happy that he's in the business. He was thoroughly missed. And when he returned at Survivor Series, it was really a warmth type of return. We all have missed him. So I just hope he takes care of himself and he doesn't really get that injured because we don't want to consistently see Randy Orton get hurt all the time. So again, hopefully Randy Orton just continues to take care of himself and take care of his body. Because I want to see Randy Orton for another 10, 15 years.
I started watching pay-per-views, but I never, like in 98, you know, I was a junior and senior in high school, and this is when Goldberg was doing his thing in the undefeated streak.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'd get with my buddies and I'd watch Goldberg, jackhammer, you know, a guy through the ring. Oh my God, Goldberg. Mm. And, you know, I'm 18 years old. Little did I know 4 years later, I'd be wrestling the guy.
Insane.
Like I still, it blows my mind. But I never saw myself doing it. My buddies would ask me and, you know, back to that confidence, I never, ever thought that I could do what my dad did. Never.
I got to ask the why, man. You're 6 foot, like what, 4, 230? It seems like everything's there. The puzzle's there.
It was all up here, you know, physically. I felt like as far as an athlete, I came into my own, you know, after I started training for wrestling. You know, I'd played sports, you know, my whole life, but I never really excelled in any one thing. I amateur wrestled from the fourth grade up through high school, but then I dropped it to play basketball. I should have stuck with it.
Yeah, but you went to state twice.
I did. Yeah, I had a successful amateur wrestling career in high school, but like, you know, as far as some of these guys, I mean, I'm Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist.
Brock Lesnar.
Brock, you know, and the list goes on. Yeah. Shelton Benjamin, all these guys, they come from
athletic.
I can never dream of being the athlete that they were. So especially back then, like if anyone knew that I couldn't do it, it was me, you know. And I think what happened is I gave the military a shot and that didn't go too well.
And then, talk about that.
And then the you know, working midnights at the gas station, that wasn't as much fun as I thought it would be. Legitimate. I'm 19 and I'm like, hey, Dad, what do you think?
Yeah.
Could you give somebody a call? Could I give this wrestling thing? And he's like, oh, son, our name's been blackballed from this business. I'm like, what? And I guess, you know, he used to get in a little bit of trouble. My uncle wrestled as well. Rest in peace, Uncle Barry. But you know, so he didn't think they were going to welcome me with open arms or anything. And it was the opposite. In fact, they were like, oh, my God, Bob, you got a son? Jesus. And my father still is highly regarded as one of the best back in his generation. So
absolutely,
I have a kid. And at the time, I believe the only other generational guy was The Rock, really, that was making any waves as a third generation superstar. So, you know, here's another third generation superstar, Bruce Pritchard, Vince McMahon, all those guys, they looked at that and were like, okay, let's start training this guy, see what we can get. And that's where the confidence started to grow.
I mean, the people you were training with are among, like, literally the best that the business has ever had.
Man.
John Cena, Batista.
I was so blessed to be down there with guys like that. Shelton Benjamin was down there.
Was Lesnar there at one point?
Oh, Lesnar. Oh, yeah. I remember the day he came. We were all like, what the fuck?
What is that?
Yeah. I remember. we're all talking shit, you know, under our breath. And
it's crazy.
And here he comes. And back then, there wasn't all, you know, we had one ring and a shitty warehouse, and there was like 12 of us. So here comes Lesnar. We knew he was coming. We get in practice. We start doing the rope running drills where you just, you know, you just burn. You just go. And he didn't hook the top rope, as I'm sure you've been told. Make sure you get the arm over that top rope. Otherwise, you're going to end up in the bleachers. And sure enough, that motherfucker, he leapt out of the ring between the second and third rope and took out like 20 metal chairs. And then just popped up, dusted himself off, and was like, I bet you'd like to see that again. And we were like, it's cool, you know, do your thing, you know, but like, yeah, I was down there with some amazing athletes and I learned so much.
Do you think that talent exists today? Like, where are the people that look like you?
And oh, I want to listen to this part. Oh, this is going to be interesting.
John Cena and Batista and Brock Lesnar. We got Austin Theory. He's pretty ripped.
What is it, just a size thing that you're talking about?
No, I don't know.
Look at
just,
the athleticism just, yeah, right now, yeah, bro.
No, I think.
The athleticism, true, but.
Well, I think there's a lot of guys that get it. There's a lot of guys that get it. I almost don't want to start naming names because then I'll feel bad. I'll leave out, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of guys. And the list is too long as far as, like, guys we got now that could be great one day.
All right, I'm going to name them. Fuck it. I'm going to name them. If I forget somebody, I'm sorry. But if Randy Orton isn't going to name a lot of them, then I'll name them. Maybe he does when I press play, but I want to name some. Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, Solo Sikoa, Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Ilya Dragunov, Tyler Bate, Santos Escobar. Already at eight people. Bronson Reed, Gunther. Come on, bruh. That's 10 people already. Tony D'Angelo, 11. Like Randy Orton said, he's probably going to miss some people. I probably forgot some people, but those guys on the top of my head, Logan Paul. All right, Logan Paul, got to put him on that list. The Creeds, you know. There's a lot of people that should be on the list that is on there, and I forgot. But the names that I just named off are definitely the future pieces for the WWE for years to come. So it's going to be interesting to see where these men end up in the next, I'd say, 5 to 10 years.
You know, it's amazing, man. If you look back at Stone Cold Steve Austin when he was Stunning Steve before he became Stone Cold Steve Austin, as you know, he looked a little different.
Yeah.
He moved a little different. He had long blonde hair.
Yeah.
He wasn't the same Stone Cold Steve Austin. You never know, man. We got a lot of gems in the back. And it's just going to take, you know, the right amount of pressure to turn him into a diamond, man.
That's one of the coolest things about this business.
Solo Sikoa. Forgot about that guy. Solo Sikoa.
This is the ability to evolve.
Oh, yeah.
And have these arcs. Even recently with Dominic Mysterio.
Oh, my God.
I'm so proud.
Dominic Mysterio is another one.
My first WrestleMania against him and Rey.
Right.
And I remember thinking, like, how is this kid gonna get out of his dad's shadow? Like, nothing about him, as far as I can tell right now, is like super wow factor. And then he just grew out that mullet and became the most hated person in the WWE. I think
dude,
the longer the mullet is directly correlated to the heat.
I think it's all because of the mullet. I really do. No, he so
you sure it's the mullet, man? I don't know, maybe it is a mullet. I think it's mommy. It's Rhea Ripley, man. I don't know. Randy Orton and Logan Paul know more than I do, so I don't know.
His dad and I are tight. And you've worked with Ray. You met Ray. Ray's, you know, he's probably the only guy back there that's friendlier than Omos.
Ray is goated.
Just Ray took care of me back in the day. And for me, so I wrestled Dom last Friday night on Raw. I don't know if you guys saw it or not.
For sure.
But it was such a pleasure to be out there with him and to just to get to be out there knowing, like, oh my God, I know your dad's at home watching. Like,
yeah.
I want to make your dad proud.
Yeah.
You know, like it was a great feeling. I am so proud of Dom as well. And I know exactly what you're talking about. When he first started coming up and Ray brought him around, it's like, oh,
what do we do?
This kid needs another fucking 10 years and you know, he needs to go fight in a war or something and come back grizzled. like there was something about him.
Well, he did get the tattoos.
The tattoos helped.
And don't forget the mullet.
Yeah, of course. But like, it's just, he's got it now.
But it happened so quick.
It did.
It happened really quick for
it
him.
Did.
I think
yeah.
The feud with his dad.
Oh, well
that was it.
That
right?
Set it off. And I remember that night, and I texted Ray and Dom that night. I want to say he either clotheslined his father or kicked his dad in the nuts, but Ray is such a lovable guy. And for him.
Clash at the Castle, right? Clash, one of the UK shows, with Edge, Ray, Dominic. I remember that. Dominic clotheslined the fuck out of his father, and then he low blowed Edge. I know that exactly because it was a great moment.
To, you know, and we all grew up 20 years ago. Fans saw Dominic on television. He was involved in storylines.
Yeah.
So everyone saw this cute little kid, man. And now here he is, and he's disrespecting his father, whom we adore. Yeah, boo.
Still to this day, after I took the U.S. title off of Rey Mysterio, which I did in Saudi Arabia.
U.S. champ.
It's U.S. champ right there. I said to Dom backstage, I was like, your dad's a legend, man. He goes, yeah, fuck that guy.
isn't him finding his like zone similarly to you just a testament of like having to try shit in life? Like you tried, this is for the audience watching, even the people that aren't for some reason WWE fans. You had this confidence issue. Maybe Dom had this confidence issue. You know, you tried basketball. You tried, you know, working the night shift at the gas station. And then you found your thing because you tried it, because you went against everything that your lack of confidence told you inside your, no disrespect, massive fucking head.
Right.
Which was I'm too scared, or I'm not good enough, or I don't have the ability to do this. And you did it anyways.
Right.
And that first step led you to getting a little bit of experience, a little bit of credibility, which then led you to getting that confidence, you know, which is such a beautiful ladder and storyline for life. And can you only imagine if you hadn't taken that first step and how important that is to your journey?
Yeah, no, it's all about taking that first leap. Doing something that
disfrutando de tu podcast.
All right, I'm gonna skip it, y'all.
Si buscas el regalo, kids before practice,
sure,
are running around RKOing the shit out of each other.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
I knew what the RKO was before I knew about you. Like, right. the move, in many ways, like has this life of its own.
Yeah,
and to have a finisher that significant has got to feel awesome. Like,
it really does.
It's hard.
It's the greatest finisher in WWE history. No cap, nigga. I don't want to hear it. It's the greatest finisher in WWE history. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, and I understand that, and that's fine. But the RKO, to me, is the greatest of all time.
Come up with something that significant to work backwards and be like, I want to do something this special, but what does it look like? And like, I'm in that developmental.
I feel like what's really cool about this place is you can't really do that. You can't work backwards with something like that. You can sure as hell try, and you can maybe get lucky, but a lot of the things that happen in our business that like catch fire with the fans, I feel like it's organic.
Super.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what like,
it's definitely organic.
For a move that I could do to everybody. In my head, did I go, oh, I'm gonna tailor make this move to be the biggest thing, the biggest move in the WWE? And no, I was just like, man, what can I do where I ain't gonna hurt myself?
And I apply it to anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a simple, like,
it is. It
relatively, is. Once again, no disrespect.
It's a cutter. No, hell no.
Comparatively, I grew up watching like Ahmed Johnson. The Pearl River Plunge is like a freaking insane, like,
right,
lifting over the back of the head, dropping, right, move.
Yeah.
And it, like, you know, it's oddly enough, a lot of the biggest finishers, like the Tombstone, are relatively like simple.
I think that's part of it.
Those moves are simple and safe. Crazy, right? The simple moves, the pedigree, the AA, the super kick, the RKO, the spear. They're pretty simple moves, right? They're pretty safe.
On a pillow.
That's very true. It's you know, if true. You got a pool in the backyard, all the kids can do it in the pool, mm-hmm, the trampoline, mm-hmm, off the couch, under the, you know, the cushions on the floor. I think that's a very good point.
It's the honestly only that might be my starting point.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
How can people recreate?
Make
this?
It simple.
Right. Right.
I think it's the only trending TikTok sound that a WWE finish.
I what had a
look out.
I had one of my most viral vines.
Yeah. Yeah.
The soundtrack was, hey, look out, it's Randy Orton slithering in. Watch out. Oh, watch out. I did it to my friend Marcus Johns into a pool. One of my most viewed vines of all time.
That's really cool to know. And you know, so that's another thing. It wasn't all just me. Like you said, you knew about the RKO before you knew who I was, and that it was essentially my initials. The memes that took on. I mean, like 10 years ago, I feel like somebody out there, whoever it is, thank you so much. But somebody started doing those things and memes that they started making. They started popping up. What'd you say?
Elon.
Thank you, Elon. building rockets. Let me make this meme.
Literally, though.
Yeah. But like, it just, you know, I said earlier I was blessed, you know, to get, you know, born into this, get the opportunity through my father, you know, same with the memes, like just that boosted up my character and made me more important, made my value, you know, my brand more important. Like a lot of people do a cutter, but, you know, when I hit mine, it's like, oh, that's the cutter.
It's one of the things that I think also differentiates you from other superstars is like you have infiltrated culture in a really like internet specific way.
Sure.
That works. Even just your last performance at War Games.
Right.
Like, dude, it's all I'm seeing is just Randy Orton stuff. Randy Orton's return. Right. Even the as soon as I saw it, I was like, he's back, another moment.
What's funny about what you're talking about, the as soon as that dropped, like I think my wife sent it to me, and then one of my sons sent it to me, and then I'm sending it to my mom, My mom's laughing, and sent it to my aunt. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's so organic and easy.
It is right down the street as we speak. But my younger kids, no. My 6-year-old, she just turned 7. Her name's Brooklyn. She's got her iPad, you know, and I hate admitting this on air, but like, it's a hell of a tool when you need to get something done.
I've been vocal.
And it's like, hey, here's the iPad. Yeah. And then, you know, here's the iPad. And then here's the iPad. Next thing you know, it's like, hey, give me the iPad. And she turns into the devil. And it's like, oh, what have I done? I'm a bad parent. But I think it's just a crutch that us parents kind of find ourselves needing.
Was the TV? Nowadays. It was Sesame Street at one point.
Yeah. All right, guys, I'm going to kind of end it there. They kind of just blabber out. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this podcast tonight. What a great interview. Logan Paul always does great interviews. His co-host is always great as well too, always asking some great questions. Again, Randy Orton was missed, and I can't wait to see what he does at WrestleMania. To me, in my personal opinion, POV, I would have Randy Orton versus Solo Sikoa at WrestleMania. I know a couple people in the community in the wrestling space are talking about Randy Orton versus Solo maybe at Elimination Chamber. I get it, you know, I understand it. If it happens over there at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, I'm not gonna be mad at it. I'm not gonna fall for it. But if it does happen at Chamber, then who is Solo gonna face at WrestleMania? Who's Randy Orton gonna face at WrestleMania? So you gotta think about that, and logically as well too. I just think Solo Sikoa versus Randy Orton screams WrestleMania to me. Along with Bianca Belair and Charlotte Flair, I seen, you know, on SmackDown. I don't know if this is true. I hope it's not. Charlotte Flair might be injured. I'm hopeful that is not true and she's really not hurt in its storyline, but we'll see what happens. But Solo Sikoa versus Randy Orton. Randy Orton having a match with Solo Sikoa at WrestleMania for me is the best bet for Randy Orton and for Solo Sikoa because of the Bloodline story that is still going on. Randy Orton wants to get his revenge on the Bloodline, so it kind of just goes two and two together. So that's that. Again, great interview with Randy Orton, you know, with the host Logan Paul doing some great shit. And WWE's cooking, man. WWE is very fun to watch. Everything they do is not great, but for the most part, they're really just having a blast. CM Punk's back. You feel the vibe. You feel the energy. And it's just a great time to be a WWE fan right now. And if you're not watching, please start watching, because once we get to January heading into WrestleMania, it's going to be off the chain. It's going to be off the chain. Trust me on that one. But I appreciate everybody supporting the Wrestling Takeover. Thank you. If you guys did not check out The newest episode, me talking about all the wrestling news earlier today. Please go check it out. Subscribe to the pod on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate the podcast 5 stars. And also go support this brand new episode as well as I did back-to-back episodes today on your Friday. Thank you guys so much. I will be back for brand new episodes coming soon to the Wrestling Takeover. Until then, I'm your host, Jordan Turner, and I'm signing off. And I'll see you guys next time right here on the Wrestling Takeover.